Would you please keep your seats? Would everybody come back and please keep your seats? To make it more convenient for everyone, we're going to have our program continue along the same vein without interrupting it with dealing and everything. And afterwards, the dealer tables will be open.
A chorus of booze from the background. Shell, you're nothing but it. Your program, once again, is correct. There was an article in the San Diego Union about 2 weeks ago that said that the editor of Greenleaf Classics would attend and would give a talk on how people can sell their comic strip, which of course is a very hilarious thing, because those of us who are in the mold or in the business realize that Greenleaf Classics is a publishing house, a great publishing house, a very good publishing house, owned and operated by Bill Hamlin, and hiring primarily from the fan ranks. And one of Bill's prime discoveries was a very, very good friend of mine. Certainly Bill didn't have to dig very far to discover Earl Kemp. Earl's been knocking around fandom for a good many years. Earl is a good friend. Earl has organized many science fiction conventions. Earl is here, and Earl will give you a very short talk, because Earl has a very tight schedule. I don't know Earl's subject. Earl don't know Earl's subject, but I'll bet you one thing, you will like Earl's subject. I've seen some of Earl's subjects. Ladies and gentlemen, Earl Kemp.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim. What he neglected to tell you was that we made a bargain. I would come here to speak only on the condition that he would write it, and he didn't. So he told me about a half an hour ago that he hadn't finished the script, so I had to get up here and wing it. And I made a very few brief notes. I'll run through them quickly. Preliminary sheet here that you've seen about this con described me as a senior citizen, so that gave me the right idea of where to start. I frequently feel like a senior citizen, and that way I have the prerogative of saying things that are very dictatorial, and usually I don't have to explain them if I leave the room and quickly enough. And I'm as anxious as you to get to the huckster table, so I'll help you. Just a little over 18 years ago, I was in a room much like this, only that was before science fiction and comics had gone their more divergent ways. And it was about my second such convention. And I looked around at the people and saw what was going on, and I said to myself, gee, this is the place for me. And I discovered a great big ego thing where I could jump in and do my thing and benefit by it. And so I started my extrovert trip right there, then in the audience. Just like one of you out there, you're going to do it too, and I wish you luck. So, as far as I'm concerned, it was nothing but hard work for many years, but it resulted in Hugo that I polish occasionally, directing the third Chicago convention, which was impressive and totally exhausting. somewhere along that line, I tumbled onto Mr. Kinsey and found out that a lot of things that I used to think were wrong weren't. Then along about a little later than that, Robert Heinlein jumped into my head with Stranger in a Strange Land and started me thinking that maybe this extrovert trip was the wrong one, and I ought to look inside and turn off the other people, because I was running into quite a few irrational people in science fiction at that time. And they helped me find a semi-retirement. Ken asked me to talk about Advent briefly. That was at the same period of time. Five Chicago fans said there were a bunch of great books that we wanted to buy but couldn't. So the only thing to do was to publish them ourselves so we could get them on our shelves. And we did just that, making a handful of copies. It progressed until we were doing editions over 1,000 copies apiece. And it was a great thing. Also good for tax purposes, because you can pay your convention expenses that way. But I abandoned that too when I moved out here looking for the sunshine. No more winters. I had a really great speech all plotted out for you this morning about 3 o'clock, but after I woke up, it wasn't there anymore. A few things I can remember from it, besides the music, but they are a request that you, and particularly you in San Diego County, please try to broaden your horizons far enough to read some newspaper that doesn't originate here. Please, whatever you do, find reality, and you won't get any help from Mr. Copley. Read the Street Journal, read the Free Door. If you can get the LA Free Press, read it. Put them all together and you might have some small idea of what's going on in the world. But it isn't what they want you to think it is around here. And that's my whole message. Wake up, look out, do your thing, love.
Jeff has been around a good many years, has been in fandom a long time, has been in the fan publishing end of it a long time, has been in the professional editing, writing a long time. I think we will probably have a few questions, and Earl will answer them for you, if there are any questions. Can't think of any questions. Nobody out here wants to be a successful amateur publisher? Yeah.
Oh, it was mostly all nonfiction, critical works on the field and the various authors. And we did one anthology of short fiction, but it was just straight pickups out of magazines. No. No, we did two, Washington and Chicago.
Earl, can you tell us how many of the Advent folks are with the out of congregation? Maybe mention what some of the titles are.
No, not totally. There's about four out of print now and out of stock, and some of the variant editions, the special bound block volume, the portfolio of artwork by Kelly Prius.
I understand the E. Smith book is out
It might be at the currently, but it won't be for long.
Mr. Bull, I hate this hint. How can you answer for fans that love comic books and stories that are really far out, but then they can't even listen to a senior fan walk around and talk and cause all the...
Yeah.
What do you have to say about that?
What I have to say about it?
No, let me answer.
Any of you, both.
Back to my main point, if that's their thing, let them do it. It does not bother me. Each one has to do it for themselves. Sleep or wake up.
Let me answer you slightly here. We have had a vast amount of people who are dissatisfied because we are over-programmed here. I will be the first to tell you, quite truthfully, we are over-programmed. We have tried to do a little bit too much for you, and as a result, we have had a lot of impatience about the fact that we have been closing the Huckster Room. Because of this, and this is something we did to Earl, and I am very, very sorry for it, we did not give Bob Stevens time to finish and make a graceful exit, and we rushed Earl up here. This was a vast disservice to Earl, and he had my apology as he walked down these steps. This is my fault. I do not blame the people here. After every speaker, there has been a pause because every speaker is immediately surrounded. We expect this. But because of the impatience to get the Huckster Room open, I rushed Earl. I rushed Earl. I don't blame the people. I blame me. And my apologies were to Earl, not to the people here.
Can we go to the Huckster Room now?
Yes.